Buongiorno tutti. That'd be a change, that way you wouldn't understand what I said. Well, we are now in post-feast time, and last week was mentioned of trials and tests that seem to follow the fall feast days. Why is that? Could it be that we have just had a taste of the millennium, an eight-day high, living and learning what it will be like in the kingdom? We took a break from this negative world we live in and went to a feast site for an eight-day crash course on what God and Jesus Christ expects of us in the millennium. We should still be on that high, going over our feast notes and praying about the future time. Can you possibly guess who is mighty angry about all this? Last Sabbath, David talked about rock stars, rap stars, and movie stars. Today, I would like to talk about the morning star, a perfect created angel that rebelled and turned bad. Let's turn to Isaiah 14, and we'll go through 12 through 14. I'm going to be reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. How did you come to fall from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? How did you come to be cut to the ground, conqueror of nations? You thought to yourself, I will scale the heavens. I will raise my throne above God's stars. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly far away in the north. I will rise past the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now Isaiah goes on with what Lucifer has in store for himself. And the Hebrew word for the expression morning star is Lucifer, and that's the name I will be using through most of this. You see, Lucifer, the adversary, is stark raving mad, and he will do anything in his power to try and destroy God's people. He will take advantage of every weakness he finds within us and try to discourage us, make us lose faith in God, and take our crowns. He knows that we just came back from the feast. He knows what the feast represents and the excitement we received and what we have to look forward in the kingdom. And this is even more reason why he will attack us in full force. Let's reflect on where we are. God has called us. We accepted his calling. We repented of our sins. We were baptized and had hands laid on us and received God's Holy Spirit. Do we really understand what that means? It means we are already in the kingdom. We have made it. The unfortunate part is that we are still flesh, and we will sin because of it. And the only way we can lose our crown and the kingdom is if we allow Satan, Lucifer, the adversary, to take it from us. To avoid that, we have to be on our toes every minute. We need to be aware of what we say, how our actions, reactions, attitudes, body language, and verbal responses affect those people around us. We need to show the world that we are different, always showing love, kindness, and consideration for others. We need to feel every day like we were at the feast celebrating the millennium. Well, how do we do that? First of all, we need to be close to God. Then the question comes up, how do we do that? Well, we have to spend time with him. To have any kind of relationship, there has to be time spent together, or there is no relationship. The more time spent with the one you love, the stronger that relationship will become. The old question comes up, how and when do we find the time for Bible study and prayer time every day? My schedule is full. The answer is priority. Now, I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you how to set your priorities so that you will have time every day for Bible study and prayer time. That is a condition you will have to work out on your own. But God said, if your eye makes you sin, pluck it out. Gary says, if your television robs your time, then pluck it out. And I lost my place. I will share with you what works for me. I have told you my story of 5 to 6 years of struggling with finding work, etc., etc. In those 6 years, I have found that the better my relationship with God became, the more doors He opened for me. I also learned that when that door opens, I don't hesitate, I walk through it, and God will open another door, bigger and wider. Also, what works for me is this, and this may not work for all of you, but you have to work out your own. I get up every morning at 4 a.m., shower, shave, and get ready for work. I go to my living room chair with my loving little cat in my lap, pick up my Bible, and allow God to talk to me. And the time varies. I then get down on my knees in front of that same chair, stroking my little cat at the same time, and talk to him. And the time varies. Now, I have done this now for over 4 years, and I know that I have a relationship with God. It was not easy. He had to kick my butt a number of times to get my attention. Finally, I saw the light, and my life is moving in the right direction. And I'd like to share with you some circumstances of how God opens doors when you have a relationship with Him. On December of 2003, I finally got back to work in my own career field with a company called Travis Industries doing design and drafting. I loved the job so much, I thought it would be my last prior to retirement. Guess what? August 5th of this year, 2005, I was laid off. And I thought, no, God, not again. I was crushed. Then I thought, Gary, you just went through 5 years of this. What did you learn? And my attitude immediately changed. I prayed harder. I looked for work with more gusto. I even felt positive about the whole situation and looked for the door that I knew God would open for me. My first week of unemployment, I had a job, part-time job, gardening. My third week, I had a contract job doing drafting work. God was opening doors. And I was walking through them. The sixth week, I was called about a job at Boeing. The eighth week, I was hired at Boeing in research and development as a contract engineer. And this is not the end of, or not the happy ending of this story. There is more. I work at the Everett plant in the biggest building in the world. And when you park your car, it took me 15 minutes to get to my workplace. And then I had to walk 2,000 feet back to one side of the building to my work area, and then back to the office for lunch, and then back to my car at night. Well, guess what? The second day, my boss gave me his bicycle. So I got to ride to my work area and back to lunch and back, and then I had to walk to my car. The second week, I was given a car pass. And now I drive up within 30 feet of the building, grab my bicycle, and go to work. And there's one more thing. I got this job 2 weeks before the feast. And I told them that I wouldn't start work until the 31st of October because I had a vacation, which was the feast, that I was going to take 2 weeks. And they said, will you please come in 6 days prior to you going on vacation, the time that you have, because we had some holy days there too, and get this orientation so that when you get back from your vacation, you can start right in. Well, those 6 days took care of my time off without pay for the feast. So, very interesting. It does not get much better than this. This job is more exciting and interesting than my last one, And you see, God has not stopped opening the doors for me, and I know it's because I have a loving relationship with Him. You see, God wants us to succeed, to be happy, to have a positive attitude, to enjoy life, to be prosperous to our needs, to show love and kindness to our loved ones and neighbors. God wants the best for all of us, as parents want the best for their child. God also gave us the opportunity to make choices, and that may be one of our biggest downfalls. But let's get back to Lucifer. You know, it's hard to imagine that he was created as an archangel like Gabriel and Michael. Then he wanted to be God, to be in charge. I guess we could say he had an authority problem. And he took a third of the angels and convinced them that he would eventually be in command. And guess what? God allowed him to be in command of the planet Earth. That sounds like he is in charge of a gigantic kingdom. Do we realize that the Earth is the size of a pinhead compared to the universe? But we still must accept the fact that Lucifer is a very, very powerful being. The world, he has a pretty good handle on. But God's people are the ones he wants, and he and his angels will work overtime, 24/7, to deceive us and try to take our crowns. I would like to ask a question. No hands, please. How many of us are really afraid of Lucifer? And then I'd like to ask another question. Why? Why? If you silently answered, I'm sorry. But anyway, he has no power over us unless we give it to him. And I will show you why. Remember a few minutes ago I told you about God calling us, our repentance, asking God to forgive us, being baptized, and then giving God's Holy Spirit by having hands laid on us? That Holy Spirit is God's power. And once we learn how to use it, Lucifer has no authority over us. Lucifer is the only one that can keep us out of the kingdom. I believe that every moment I let my guard down, Lucifer will edge his way into me and try to give me a bad attitude, negative thoughts, and attack any weak point that I may have, to wear me down, to see things his way. The key for us is awareness. 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 When we start to go negative, give sharp answers, being impolite, shout at someone negatively, etc., etc., we need to say, "Hey, wait a minute. Why am I in this lousy mood?" This is the hard part. The awareness, knowing that Lucifer is working on us and realizing that we have to stop him. I want to share with you how to do that. I know that it works because I've done it many times, and I actually did it on the way to church today. We have not had a sermon about demons for a long time. And some of you may have heard of ministers and removing demons. The New Testament is full of examples of Jesus and his disciples removing demons. Using the power God gave us, we too can remove the adversary from our bodies. And I wish I had the time to tell you about the first time that I found this out. I don't. When I know or become aware that Satan, Lucifer, or one of his angels has a grip on me, this is the prayer I will use. I immediately say, "Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father, who have power over you and have given that same power to me by the laying on of hands, I command you to leave my body, my heart, my mind, my soul, my total being, and you will leave now. Thank you, God, for giving me the awareness of his presence and the power to remove him. I ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen." After this prayer, I can immediately feel the relief. It's like a weight being lifted from my shoulders. And I know he's gone. In conclusion, my point is this. If we worry about the post-feast blues, our trials and problems, in which most are caused by our own mistakes, we will surely get caught up in them. The first key is to seek God with all our might and have a father, son, and daughter relationship with him. We need to listen to him speak to us as we read and study our Bibles each day. We need to talk to him very fervently in prayer each day. And this will ensure us of a son and daughter relationship with him. And the post-feast blues and some of our problems will just go away. Then we will see the doors start to open, and we must have the faith and the trust to walk through them. The second key is our awareness of what is going on in our lives, our thoughts, our actions, and how we are dealing with those around us. God wants us to have it all, but it's like freedom. Freedom does not come without effort. We have to be on our toes every minute and aware that Satan wants us more than anything else. He will seek out our weaknesses and work on them, trying to discourage us. When we know that Satan is attacking us, let's use the power God gave us and kick him out. God gives us that power as we need it. Remember, God called us. So we have already made it into the kingdom now in these physical bodies. Let's now and in the future work toward and seek the rewards that God the Father and Jesus Christ have waiting for us in the spiritual kingdom.